for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew's board certified physician, Dixon Medicine specialist.
Yeah,
Drew.
Yeah.
We're just looking at these new iPod Nanos. They are, well, they're the size of a credit card, a little bit thicker, super sleek, super sexy. But this really makes me think about my global conspiracy with the electronics and dropping them and breaking them.
Meaning,
and I'll put that down and focus over here.
Right,
now, would you pick up on what I'm putting down for
a
second?
I know it's something good.
Everybody, close your eyes and open your minds, man, and dig. Okay?
Yeah.
Every piece of electronic equipment made in the last 10 years does not have an edge on
it. Yes.
Now,
the conspiracy to make it slide out.
Think of what a pistol grip looks like. You ever hold a pistol in your hand?
Yeah, it's substantial.
That knurled handle, it's meant not to come loose.
Uh-huh.
It's not like holding a wet banana.
Uh-huh.
You are meant to hang on to that pistol. Now think about tools.
Tools, they got a big grip on them.
They have to grip. Now, think of iPods. Think of cell phones. Think of MP3 players.
You know what I think of? A bar of soap in the shower.
My goddamn cell phone looked like JPL tested it in a wind tunnel.
Right.
I mean, it's not only is there not a sharp edge on it, not only is every single corner broken on it, and the thing is shaped basically like a salt flat airstreamer.
That's right.
It's really shaped like a 60s airplane.
Right.
But not only that, everything is made of brushed titanium.
Mm-hmm.
This crap not only goes sailing out of your hands, it goes sailing out of your sweatpants, it goes sailing out of your car. You literally have difficulty just flipping the thing open without it coming loose from your hands.
Hmm.
Every single piece even new cameras.
Yeah.
Super sleek.
No grip.
Super smooth, yeah. Super sleek. Everything is super sleek and super smooth. Now, how many iPods? How many cell phones get dropped every year?
Mm-hmm.
How many of those cameras get dropped every year?
So basically, the guys that used to be advising the tobacco companies have gone over to the electronics company and have big meetings with them and say, here's how you screw your consumers.
Yeah. Well, here's the first thing they sold us on. The first thing they sold us on is it's cheaper to buy a new one. They started selling us on that one about 15, 20 years ago.
Yep.
Because it used to be if a piece of electronics broke, you'd go get a new tube, you'd go get it fixed, you'd have a
repair
guy.
Yeah.
Guy would come to your house. So
where's the Maytag man?
First order business, well, the guy who played the actor actually died.
Oh, okay.
But
well,
the proverbial Maytag man, yes, he's sitting there, he's bored, Drew, he doesn't get work.
Because the new one is cheaper.
Here's the Maytags never break down, but here's my point. My point is, the first mission is to sell us all on the retarded notion that we should just buy a new one and never have the old one fixed.
Right.
And we all bought into it.
We like that.
Your kids are growing up in a time period where there'll be no repair of anything.
It's all disposable.
They're going to be driving their car. They're going to get a flat. They're going to leave it there and walk home.
Uh-huh.
I just got to go, Dad, I need a new car. What happened? One of those things that's round that hold. It's like a donut, but there's air in it. It's flat. It went down. They're not even going to know the name of it. Well, your kids aren't going to know what it is. They go, what are you talking about? You know that thingy with the engine in it? An automobile, son? Yes. What'd you say? Yes, an automobile. Here's my point. We have sold society on the fact that we should throw out everything that breaks.
Yep.
That's number one. Number two, make it super sleek. You can't hang on to it. You drop your phone twice a day. You drop your digital camera.
Get a new one.
You drop your iPod. That iPod, you try to take that goddamn thing out of your sports pack or whatever. Just sailing. Launches itself
next, they
across.
Make it aerodynamic.
Across. It is aerodynamic.
But I mean, so they're
actually going to put fins on it.
Yeah, they actually put
Yeah, they'll put a canard on it. It'll be a delta wing. My point is this is a conspiracy. Now, how much money do you make if you sell cell phones and the person never drops one, as opposed to them dropping them and busting it once or twice a year?
It's better you break them.
Yeah. Course. Otherwise, you get 6 years of the same one.
Sure.
Or you could drop one a year and do 600 times
perfect,
the business.
Perfect.
Think about everything. Think about everything that's got a chip, a lens, a battery. Think, what do you think yearly the re-whatever is because the thing dropped out of the hand, fell out of hand, skipped out of the car?
Billions. But it's been perfectly executed because first they tilled the soil with, it's cheaper if you buy a new one.
Yes, they
well executed.
They tilled the soil with that BS. And number two, as per usual, I've never heard anyone say a word about
because
it.
Because it's too carefully done, too exquisitely.
Everyone just blames themselves when the super sleek, edgeless piece of greased titanium falls out of their sweaty hands.
Now, what in the hell have you done to this thing?
I'll tell you what I did. I got goddamn proactive is what I did.
Oh, my God. It's still slippery as hell.
Oh, hey, idiot. Almost dropped it. I put a piece of Velcro on the backside of it
that's
so it won't go sailing out of my goddamn sweatpants every time I climb out of my car.
But the scratches looks like graffiti all over the thing.
Well, I tried to rough it up.
Well,
it's still slippery, but it's not as bad as it was before. It was a greased pig. You understand? Now it's just a greased flagpole.
It looks like somebody's trying to get out of jail with this thing or something. Like you're trying to chip your way out of
this cell phone. Looks like it was meant to fly out of your hand, does it not?
Like none other. This one's really bad.
Yeah.
This one's like... Psh,
and not only that, here's what I love about the phone, too. There's no little hitch where you can lift the thing up. So it's a two-hander. When the phone rings, you got to take your hand off the wheel or your penis or whatever you're hanging on to.
Or both.
And do that. All I'm saying is it is a billion, multi-billion dollar a year industry. Phones, electronics, iPods, MP3 players, all that crap flying out of everyone's hands. Nobody says a word about it. We just drop it and go buy a new one.
We're just lemmings. Speaking of lemmings.
Nobody thought about it.
All callers.
Have you ever heard this from anyone?
Well, I think I've heard it once or twice from you, but
no one else.
All callers you get through tonight who are 18
global
years or over
conspiracy.
Will receive two tickets to see Choir
Wolf. I blame
Wolf.
The Japanese.
Basically some student.
It's Pearl Harbor all over again.
Basically some student.
This is bigger.
Create an online murderer, and he comes to real life. And everyone who gets tickets also qualifies to see the song who did the group did the soundtrack for the movie
Silky
Block
Smooth.
Party.
Who are you, Casey Kasem?
Anywhere in Europe.
Come on, buddy.
This Friday, You Lie, You Die. Cry Wolf in theaters everywhere.
You lie, you die. Now, when they say lie, they don't spell it like lie down.
L-I-E.
Okay. Now, what would you do if you were lying down?
You lay down. Yeah.
But you
die, you lay. Yeah.
Lying. But it's different. They mean lying.
Yeah, they mean like telling a lie.
They mean like I'm taking a nap. You die.
No.
Okay, because I couldn't take that.
Block Party anywhere in Europe. We'll be announcing those
anywhere
winners.
Anywhere in Europe.
Look at this lineup, too. They're all over the place. And we'll be announcing winners on Sunday.
All right. Maybe I could just win that thing. Leah, what happened to
That's
the old days of radio with payola and crap?
You know, we just got in
let me tell you
time.
Something. Let me tell you how radio used to work. They'd give, Specialized would have a $400 mountain bike that they'd be giving away to caller 33. Believe me, who was ever doing the shift that night rode it home.
Oh, sure.
That's how it worked, with a big bundle of Coke hanging off the back of it. And you know, hookers and everything. That's
Damn.
All radio used to be.
We missed out.
Payola, baby. Coke, hookers. Oh, you want
Trek bikes.
Here, let me hear that song. This is how it used to work. The first time anyone ever heard Maneater by Hall & Oates, it was like, oh my God, this flaming wretched turd, it'll never be played on the radio ever. Oh yeah? How about a BJ and a sack of cocaine? Maneater shoots the number one. Whoa, here she comes. That's how, you know all those horrible songs that your parents are on, 70s and 80s stuff? How it got
70s,
played?
70s.
Coke. Coke and whores. Now we got none of that. It cleaned everything up as soon as I got here. I got nothing. I got a pair of Uggs 8 years ago. That's the only thing I've ever got.
Yes. What happened? That was the greatest thing we ever got.
Leah?
Yeah?
You're 20?
Yeah.
Watch out, boy. She'll chew you up. Whoa, here she comes.
She's a man eater.
Really? I say that song was not only coke payola, prostitution, and possibly just straight bouillon, in just gold bouillon
in
a bar form.
It must have been.
Yeah. Go ahead, Leah. That song blew so much ass. She only comes out at 9. Yeah. Go ahead, Leah.
Okay. Well, I have, like, this issue where I'll be with a guy for... like the first 3 months and were extremely like sexually active, like sex at least every other day, if not more. And then it begins to dwindle, and then about at the 3 month point, it'll like stop completely. And it's all like me, it's not my partner. But
how many times has this happened?
Well, I've only had my last boyfriend and my current one.
So twice it has happened. And what's going on in the relationship around that time?
Nothing. Like, that's what I don't understand, is because I'm, like, the guy that I'm currently with, we've been together for over a year, and I'm...
What are you going from what to what? How often to how often? And when you're very active, how often are you doing it? And when you die down, how often are you doing it?
When I'm very active, it's, like, every day or every other day or as often as we see each other, because I live in two different houses,
and then,
obviously. And then it will die down to maybe once a week, and then I'll just be, like, not at all, like, not even, like, making out or kissing or anything.
Well, once a week's kind of normal, for one thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, right now, it's not at all.
All right, so you just lose your sex. Now, usually, the most common reason for that is that you don't feel comfortable in intimate relationships. As genuine intimacy develops, the sexuality goes out.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
I don't know, because...
Well, anything we need to know about your history when you're growing up?
When I was little, I was fine. When my freshman year of high school, I was raped by a close friend.
Yes. A close friend?
Yeah.
Another. What do you mean rape? Tell us. That woman is wild. Woo! That's my favorite line. We got no rhymes. How about you just write "That woman is wild"? Woo!
There you go. That'll do.
Doesn't have to rhyme with man or eat or anything.
Four.
Yeah, Marco. Okay. It's an awesome song. Yeah, go ahead, Leah. Who raped you? Who is this guy?
We were on a track team together, and
was he also a freshman?
No, he was a upperclassman.
Uh oh.
Mm-hmm.
And was it like a violent?
Does upperclassman mean a senior?
Junior, senior.
Yeah.
Could be a junior or a senior, right?
Yeah. He was a senior.
Did you go to a regular high school, a public school?
Yes.
Right. Upperclassmen.
Wisconsin.
Yeah. They probably say grade 11 there, too. all right. And did you call the cops?
No, because the way it happened is, you know, like how everybody, like you blame yourself afterwards. And then by the time that I had finally come to realize that it wasn't my fault, I felt like it was just too late. Like it was
what was the circumstances of the rape? We had a party?
Yeah, we were at a party and then everybody left and he had set up some drugs and I didn't want to do it and he basically forced me to do it.
How do you force somebody to do drugs?
Blow gun. Well,
did he shoot it in your vein?
No. It was marijuana and he had like a bong set up. And he, like, pushed my head over the bong until I inhaled. And he must have, like, laced it with something. I don't know, because I went, like, it's not like I blacked out, but I couldn't, like, move physically.
All right, well, no.
What's up?
That's earlier trauma stuff. So were you sexually abused growing up or something?
No.
Were you beaten or something growing up?
No.
Because that freeze reaction you're describing?
Is your dad not around? Mm-hmm.
No, that freeze reaction you're describing is a typical reaction of trauma survivors. It's actually called death feigning behaviors.
Mm. Okay.
And it's something that happens when something really heavy went on in childhood, usually repeatedly. And so you learn that behavior when you're in the threat situation again. Yeah.
Did you lose a parent or anything?
My dad left when I was four, but I've had a father figure in my life.
Why did your dad leave when you were four?
I don't know. Like, my parents were divorced before I was born.
And you haven't seen your dad?
Since I was four. But I've had a father figure in my life.
Right. I understand, but your biological father is important here.
Yeah.
God knows what he
might
have done to you.
All right.
Mm-hmm. It smacks of something really gone wrong.
Well, let me say this, Drew. Biological dad that splits.
Yeah.
It never comes back into the life.
Yeah. Heavy.
Well, no, not only heavy, but it does make you wonder if they did something.
Yes, that's what I was...
That's what you said. Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I never really think about it. It's always just like, you know, Dad's a Rolling Stone.
Oh, no.
Better song, Papa's a Rolling Stone than Maneater, by the way.
The guy that leaves like that, think how big a a-hole he is.
Obviously, he's a colossal a-hole. I used to just think he was a crazy narcissist, but now, as I think about it, maybe he did something that he never wants to be accountable for.
That, and not only that, how... much of an a-hole or criminal or whatever sociopath must he have been for the mom to be, phew, get rid of that one.
Right.
I never want to see him again. Thank God he got out of our life.
Mm-hmm.
And these are people that are quite capable of abusing kids and usually do.
All right.
So I think something really happened there.
Well, how about a little therapy?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. She only comes out at night. The lean and hungry type. You know, it was funny when I was explaining to Jimmy what a suck-off song that was.
He did not defend that song.
Well, yes, he did.
No, he did not.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. But I
I can't.
He defended it.
Cashews.
He defended it.
Doesn't like cashews.
He doesn't like cashews, but he does like Manny.
Doesn't like cars.
He likes pop songs, but here's the point. I told him it was the worst song ever written. That's what he was arguing with me about. But
what did he claim that was?
One of the times I was arguing with someone about what a blow-ass song that was, and I was like, I screwed up the words. And I was like, she only comes out at night, being the hungry type. And they were like, it's not being the hungry type, it's the lean and hungry type, you idiot. Oh, I see. Now it's...
now it's poetry.
Now, the clearest space in Cleveland, Ohio, at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, because that baby's going in.
Okay.
All right. You never did like that crappy song, did you?
No, I remember that period of music thinking, what is wrong with people?
Watch out, boy, she'll chew you up.
It was 1981.
She's a man. Yeah. Here's where I would be the world's worst songwriting partner. You'd come to me with that song, like I'd be John Hall or Daryl Oates, and they'd come to me and be like, oh, hey, that's a pretty good... And then I'd just smack them in
you
the face.
Me. Yeah, you actually hit
I just punch
them
right in the face. I go, you want to waste my time
next,
with anything else?
Next.
Are you high?
Go to work.
Get the F back out there and write a decent song, would you? Stop bothering me.
That's why New Wave came out with such a blast, because that's what they were competing with.
Right.
People were like, oh, my God.
Andrew?
Yeah.
What's happening, brother, man?
Not too much. Just hanging out.
All right. You got a question?
So, yeah. So I work at a horse track in Minnesota, right?
Okay.
And there's this 26-year-old girl that I work with, and she... Her and I have been dating for the past 2 months, you know, just nothing under the covers or anything like that. And I guess she hasn't had sex in 9 years since she was 17. And so I'm just kind of wondering, like, if you think there's any mental issues with her, if I should keep pursuing this, because it's definitely a challenge.
Well, look, any chick that works at a horse track has mental issues.
good call.
Everybody who works at a horse track has mental issues.
Yeah.
The only guy that really doesn't have issues is a guy who blows that big trumpet at the start.
the bugler.
Yeah. That guy's fine.
He goes home afterwards and
plays the
philharmonic.
The jockeys are nuts. The trainers are basically just felons. These are people that are just living on society's fringe. You know what I mean? Then you got the people at the track. Then you have the jockeys are you know, high on drugs. The trainers are a-holes. The guys you see hanging around on a Tuesday in the afternoon with the racing form in the back pocket and the cigar butt hanging out. I mean, that is really the worst society has to offer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Don't do. Andrew?
Absolute gorgeous girl. She's 26. She's about 5'3". Nice body.
All right, well...
She's kind of down on herself, though.
Yeah, well, look, I'm sure she had a rough outing when she was 17.
Right.
What's? I understand. What are you asking? I'm a little unclear.
Well, I'm just trying to see, like, if you guys think... Because she's always down on herself and always making remarks like she's not pretty or anything like that. And
well, look, if you like her, go ahead. Go out with her.
Yeah, but I'm just, like... Because I'm sure she's going to want to settle down sometime soon. She's 26, you know what I mean?
Well, she's ancient.
I'm not sure. Huh?
Ancient, over the hill.
Yeah.
Right.
You're fine, Andrew.
So, I don't want to get into that. But
I know. Well, then declare yourself a date.
Go have sex with her and go have a date.
It's fine. She's fine.
Give her a roll in the hay.
Or not. Just enjoy. You like her? You're attracted to her? What's the deal? People, you know, people don't always have great self-esteem. People tend towards to be depressed or anxiety. Andrew's got his issues, too, and that makes a ball game.
I hate the racetrack.
Do you?
So you know why? I don't like all those guys that hang around who proclaim or protest to be, or experts.
Oh, yeah.
Then all the handicapper guys, they all think they know something. No one knows anything. These guys are supposed to be experts. Whenever you do get a tip, it never works.
Right.
I've been to the track 10 times. I used to know a guy who was a trainer, gave me a couple of tips. Never.
No one can figure anything out.
Let's make it a race. So many variables.
All right, look, it's exciting when they're running around, but you just go there and get drunk and
it's
eat.
Pretty, though, right?
Yeah, it is. Michelle?
Hello?
Michelle?
Yep.
You're 22?
Yes.
Yeah.
Where are you?
I'm actually at work right now.
What kind of work do you do?
I work at Gravy's Lounge. It's a bar.
Gravy's?
Yeah.
Gravy's.
It's awesome.
It's great. It's great when you come up with a title. It makes people not hungry.
Some artery snap shut, though.
Yeah, Drew thinks of a clogged artery. I just think of some brown sauce that's in an ashtray.
Well,
like a cigar
around.
Floating
yeah.
around in it or a cigarette. Gravy's?
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I dated a chick that's that awesome. Worked at a place in Van Nuys called Thirsty's.
Oh.
And I thought that was the worst goddamn name I've ever heard for a bar. But it may have been topped by Gravy's.
What was she like? Oh, my God.
She was hot.
Oh, dude. Was it a club?
Yeah, it was, you know, they danced.
Oh, jeez.
Dancing. It was gentlemen's. It was a classy place. Thirsties. Club. Hey, Michelle.
Oh.
Okay.
What do they sell? What do they sell over at Gravy's? What's on the menu?
Beer, and that's about it.
Beer.
Just beer. They have any food?
No.
Just a bar?
Just a bar.
Okay. Let me just say this about bars, too.
Okay.
It's got to suck to work in one of those bars that is just completely, like, in a strip mall. It's got no personality. Mm. You know, it's got, like, you work at a bar, you want to work at one of these ones in Soho or one of these ones in Boston. It's been there for 108 years. It's got a pool table. It's all banged up. You know, it's got real neon, but it's busted up. It's got, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's got the tin ceiling.
No, I know.
You know the bars that, like, at the Burbank Airport where it has, like, the plastic Bud Light sign and the indoor-outdoor carpet, and it's just like,
I look at those and I think, how do they stay open? I mean, who goes there frequently?
I drop $40 every time I get on a Southwest flight.
It's an airport, though. But, I mean, the same bars exist just down the street there on Burbank Boulevard.
That's the weird part.
Yeah.
The ones that are just at a strip mall with, like, plexiglass, cheap beer signs and
plastic cups. I mean, so you figure it's got to be the neighbors, and how many neighbors are going in there regularly enough to support a business?
I don't know, but
it's Moe's, basically.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Right?
I'm just saying, working at one of those bars that's weird and sterile and built in the 80s and has no personality, seems weird, just bad corporate strip mall. Yeah?
Well, now back to Gravy's.
Oh, Gravy's, yeah. No, that's an awesome place, Gravy's. Out in Missouri. Next time I'm out in Missouri Way, I'm going to swing by Gravy's for myself a cold one.
It's next to the cemetery.
Perfect. All right, so the question is, Michelle.
Okay, the question is, I recently had sex with a girl for the first time, and we used a double-sided toy. And recently, one of my other friends had mentioned to me that the girl that I had sex with might have HIV or an STD or something of that sort. And my question was...
Those are all different things. I mean, HIV is a specific STD.
Well, yeah. All right.
All right, what's your question?
My question is it possible to contract that from her since we were using a double-sided toy?
Who's in charge of the double-sided toy? I'm just curious about lesbian etiquette. Who is, you know, is the person on the right, is the one closest to Mecca? You know, like, it's like pulling up at a four-way stop sign, you know, where four people all pull up.
Yeah,
who goes first? When a lesbian gets hold of a double-headed dong, who's in charge? Who's co-pilot and who's flying that bird?
I think it was more of a mutual thing. Nobody was really in charge.
And how do you work?
You're in charge of your own end.
How do you work? Push me. F me. How do you work that thing if, you know, you're both sort of away from it? You know what I mean?
Is it anchored anywhere?
Anchored. Yeah, it's a port.
You both kind of have to make the same motion at the same time.
Caisson. Oh, I see.
Caisson.
Yeah, I see. Pile driver.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I see. Is there a handle on it? Like, is it one of those, like, those cop batons? There's an old billy stick.
No, there's no handle.
All right, Michelle, the deal is, yes, you can get STDs from these latex products. The one you'd be most likely to contract would be the viral surface infections like herpes or warts.
What? Well, did you flip the thing over at halftime, or did you just keep it?
Kirk, did you keep track of it?
I would. That's why I was worried, is because we did actually switch positions several different times, and we didn't really keep track of whose end was whose.
That's why I always color code mine. Like when me and Jimmy used to do the man show, we had cue cards. My writing was in black. His was in blue.
Ooh,
we did the same thing with our double end and dong.
The blue and the black, yeah. And the plugs.
It was pink and purple, but we had our own colors.
The plugs, yeah.
Yeah, that's...
They weren't really dongs, were they?
Huh? Well, yeah. Michelle?
Yeah?
What do you look like?
A normal, ordinary 22-year-old girl.
Mm-hmm. Little heavy set?
I'm a little thick, curvy, you know.
Yeah, because here's how the breakdown went for me. Calling from Missouri. Cha-ching. I put on 20 pounds right there. I throw it right on the top. I hear Missouri. I toss on 20 pounds. Then I hear I'm working at a place called Gravy's.
Cha-ching.
I'm working at a place named after a liquid food.
Liquid fat.
Cha-ching. I put on another 25 for the Gravy's. And then I hear about the crazy double-ended sexual lesbian dong experiment. And I got her up about 70 pounds. And the... I got about 190. About 190.
No.
Okay.
Not that big.
What did the
175.
178. What did the other gal look like?
The HIV infected girl.
Mm-hmm. She's don't say that. She's really, really hot, but she's kind of a granola hippie. Like, she doesn't really shave her arms or her legs or you know, she has dreadlocks and
ooh, Eric just threw up. Rick just threw.
Rick. Yeah. It 5 minutes ago, this was totally jackable. Now it's done.
Well, thank you.
The honeymoon is over. It was 100% jackable just 3 minutes ago. And now I got to file it. I don't even know when I could use this. I mean, I'll see if I can use something.
Put it on the iPod.
This is unusable now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If it was a horse, I would shoot it.
Okay. Michelle, here's the deal. HIV, not likely to get it that way, but conceivable.
Yeah.
It's certainly not a typical means. There's not a lot of body fluid being transmitted. But you are potentially...
Let me tell you about the real damage that's done here.
More hepatitis B, I worry about. Like I said, herpes, syphilis, gonorrhea, chlamydia.
I can never picture a hot chick doing a hot lesbian thing anymore.
Say that again?
I can never picture a hot chick doing a hot lesbian thing anymore with the double-sided dong. Because what the reality of it is versus what the porn version
of it is.
This
show has ruined it for you.
It's ruined it.
Sorry.
Ruined it.
Reality has ruined your fantasy, basically.
Yeah.
The porn fantasy.
Yeah, I mean, don't worry about me. I mean, I'll land on my back.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
All right,
here we go.
Let's take a break.
Let's do.
We'll be back after this. Yeah, everybody, it's Loveline. That's what I'm talking about. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191er. Christian Parrish just found out he's gay.
Nice.
Books to help them deal.
Oh.
Has extremely foul-smelling farts.
It's your best friend.
Wow. Cornucopia of strong questions. I'm going to go with... Danny, let's talk about farting for a second, Drew.
In the context of Danny's question.
Well, hold on. Let me just say this.
Right.
Some guys smell consistently bad.
Yeah.
Other guys just sort of blow air.
Yeah,
My buddy Ray just blows air out of his ass all day, and it's like a whoopee cushion, but it almost never, ever smells.
That's you, too. You walked out of the studio last night.
I blew something heavy. But it rarely smells.
Right.
Whereas Jimmy and Jimmy's cousin Sal almost always smells.
Who is the big gentleman that you were with in Vegas that one time that just destroyed
him? DeLuca? Oh, Big Tad's brother?
Tad's brother, yeah. Oh. Destroyed
him. I swear to Christ, I will vomit if you start talking about that. My point is people are different. And everyone wants to get into that crap where it's like, oh, you ate
you ate Mexican,
or you're or you ate Lagoon, the toxins,
or you're not eating the right thing, or BS. Mm-hmm. I eat everything, all different stuff, all different times of the day, and so does Jimmy, and so does everyone else. Right. Some guys' asses smell, other guys don't. It's got to be the enzymes or the
it's
flora
the
and the fauna
yeah,
that's
is.
In there.
It is. Certain people grow a certain flora and fauna, just the way you have a certain funk, a certain breath, a certain everything.
I'm trying to tell people that your BO does not have much to do with hygiene, and your ass doesn't have much to do with diet.
Well, I would disagree with you. I agree with you in principle. However, matters of degree is determined by diet.
Well, if you have a food that disagrees with you, you could eat that food, and you could end my career tonight.
You would vomit.
I know,
you'd stop. You'd leave.
Asphyxiate on the diet. Vomit, right. And I would actually die.
End of your career, end of your life. Yeah, yeah.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Even your emergency medicine skills could not bring me back to life. Yeah. Nor would you try, half-heartedly, perhaps.
No.
The point is if you ate the wrong thing, something smelly would come out of your ass. There's nothing I could eat that would do that to me.
You have a little something that was a positive
once in a while I can get going, but there's no rhyme and there's no reason. That's the next question. Where do things change? How come once a year I got good gas and that's about it? And I eat everything all day, every day, all different, all the time.
Well, it's the methane, the bacteria producing, cracking the methane, so to speak, and producing the methane gas. And to some extent, it's what you swallow, creating the volume of air.
I know, but why do I have a banner day once a year?
And there could be a sort of an irritable bowel syndrome, too. Mm. Things sort of churn along.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you add in the right substrate.
I eat the same thing every day.
Yeah, but you eat some dried fruit or something and bring it on.
Yeah,
granola.
It no rhyme, no reason is what I'm saying.
I bet if you really, well, in the end, sometimes it's just.
Drew, I've had a few banner days.
This is like telling the terrorist how to attack us. Why would you tell him?
No, he knows. He knows the formula.
I've had a few banner days in the studio, Drew, but I never ate anything special.
In fact, you've not had a really serious day since we left the Westwood One studio.
I know.
There were some days you really were really, I mean, it was troubling.
Those were my beefing salad days.
What's this?
Those were my salad days
of
beefing.
I see.
I did my prime beefing over there. And I haven't put together a decent, I mean, I've been in like a 3-year slump.
Yeah.
Don't think I don't feel it.
So I'm sorry.
And then
we had the linen walls that would just absorb
I'm saying is I don't get anything going. My friend Ray, I've never smelled anything. Now, I've heard he's let miles of cubic gas out of his ass, but none of it ever smells.
Mm.
Jimmy?
Mm. Watch out.
Oh, Danny?
Yeah.
You got bad gas?
Uncontrollably.
Does everything that comes out of you, is that bad?
No, actually, it's like a 70-30.
But you never know.
Yeah, eggs, automatically, no matter what, 5 hours later, it's over.
Oh. Okay, there you go.
All right.
So there's something.
Okay. I've got that one down. I mean, after the years, you start figuring out, this doesn't work with you, this does, whatever.
Right. It's sort of I'm not sure, you know, it's not as though the medical literature is replete in what exactly this is. Some people sort of put it more into the category of irritable bowel syndrome. I've read other articles that talk about the methane production, but don't give any sort of scientifically rigorous descriptions of this.
Certain people definitely have an issue with it, and others just don't.
Mm-hmm.
And women don't as much as men.
No.
Yeah. My girl, if she drinks milk, or she's lactose, if she drinks
milk. Is she African American?
She's going to blow me out of the covers.
Yeah, African Americans. Yeah.
No.
Oh, I thought she said yes. Asian.
Wow.
Asian
chick blowing ass.
Yeah, that doesn't sound normal. It doesn't happen often. It doesn't happen. I mean, literally for her, it's like.
What do the black chicks have, Drew?
Lactose intolerance. Very common.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And they put a dairy in there, and they'll get the big,
oh,
big
really?
Production, yes. Diarrhea,
seems
too.
Seems like those folks eat a fair amount of cheese.
Some, but some don't.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Seems like the sisters eat a fair amount of dairy product.
Sometimes.
Huh?
Not milk. That's why. Remember that...
I don't see them putting away the tofu.
Well, that milk has something for everybody commercial and stuff. That had to be abandoned because of that.
Hold on a second.
What's that? And why is it talking about it produce gas?
Well,
like,
I can probably fart any time. Let me tell you something about those milk ads that bother me. I don't like it when they have the guy with the milk mustache.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you the scariest looking one. Patrick Ewing and Donovan McNabb, because they actually have black mustaches and their dark skin and the weird thing hanging off of them. You almost look at it, it's like, ugh.
Yeah, yeah.
What the?
Yeah. Yeah.
That.
With you on that.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. Couldn't see any boobs. Got to see, Patrick Ewing with a bunch of milk dripping off his face.
Ugh.
Like a porn film. That's awesome. In the mustache.
Ugh.
That's a nice look.
Okay.
Okay. Where are we?
Danny.
All right, so what can he do? Well, eat some Beano?
Yeah, Danny, it's basically a bulk and figure out what sets you off.
Well, the question is my girlfriend's telling me that they have an over-the-counter kind of, douche or whatever. She's telling me to clean myself.
No, that won't do a damn thing. You can go ahead and try that.
I think it's bogus. But I'll tell you, when David Alan Greer was in here the other night, he was talking about some of the sisters that I think could handle the dairy products.
Ethanol, estradiol, even industrial.
I think they...
And their mom.
Oh, their mom. Their mom definitely could, yeah. Yeah.
Are we... is Anderson out smoking a butt now, or he's just getting passive-aggressive on us?
It's always hard to tell.
Okay. He's looking for it.
Well, it's such a bad recording. I put it back in last night, but I can't find either one now.
Such a bad recording?
Yeah, haven't you heard the crackling and popping?
It sounded good to us.
No, it always sounded good, although I was laughing so hard. Mm-hmm. I could never figure it out.
All right, here we go.
Listen. All right.
100 micrograms of ethanol estradiol, which is...
Ethanol estradiol!
It's the progesterone. It's the levonorgestrel.
And where is levonorgestrel?
Or the norethindrone.
Put that wiffle ball back down. Girl. Come in the house.
So behind. I'm sick of these kids.
Always funny.
Why?
Why not?
I mean, it's hysterical.
Of course it is. All right, we got to your break, but Josh.
Hey. Yeah, my parents found my MySpace a few months ago, and they saw in my profile that I'm gay.
They found your what?
MySpace.
My MySpace profile.
It's a kids thing.
Yeah.
MySpace.
And my dad took me out to dinner tonight, and he, confronted me about it like a
liar. Liar, liar, whore, liar, whore, and you know it.
I don't know about that.
I didn't know that they knew about it.
All right.
So.
Now, wait a minute. They go on your computer and find your profile?
Yeah, they just searched me up on the website.
And what did your profile say?
It just says, under orientation, it says gay. So.
What do you mean your dad confronted you? What did he say to you?
He's like, well, we know, and he told me about how they saw it and stuff, and he said that they've, been worrying for months that I'm out getting AIDS and all this stuff, and they're, Christian people, so they, freak out about that kind of stuff, and,
It sounds like they're pretty reasonable about things, though. I mean, their parents are scared. What they don't know, there's something familiar to them.
Yeah,
give them a little break.
They think that, gay people can change, and they're like, they were offering me, my dad was like offering me if I wanted to change or whatever, he's reading some crazy book by some Christian straight guy.
I just came up with a great scam.
Uh-huh.
You know, if I were one of your sons, I'd be like, yeah, dad, I'm pretty sure I'm gay.
$1,000 a week.
Kind of on the fence, but I'm gay. I'll tell you one thing that would help me not be gay. You give me that Corvette. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I need a shotgun, a crossbow, a Corvette, and I'm gonna need some drink coupons over to Thirsties over there in Van Nuys.
Gravies.
And then gravies. Yeah, you know, he could probably take his parents, his dad, if he was a good Christian, would probably pay him $60 a week not to be gay.
But Josh, it's not just their Christian orientation so much as many parents have a fantasy, a wish that they could change things. They're scared. They don't know. They'll come around. Give them a little time.
They think that that gay people are living under a mistaken identity. That's what their book says.
Well, let them believe what they want.
Are you angry at your parents?
I'm angry that they found my MySpace and that they read all my stuff on there. But yeah, I am angry that they haven't told me for months that they've known.
What is your? Well, why do you keep this MySpacing? This seems
a lot of kids
like
do
a
that.
Diary.
Yeah, yeah, it's a lot of kids. Yeah,
that doesn't seem like a thing guys should be doing.
It's sort of a link, you know, of a way to link up with people and stuff.
Yeah, but basically, it's a to-do list, and it can be held against you in court.
But Josh, why are you harboring resentments at them having not told you for a couple months? Wouldn't you have rather dial the clock back to before your dad sat down with you and had that conversation, whether they knew it or not?
Yeah,
well, that's
true.
Yeah, in some
so
ways.
Come on. It's just BS. Cut it out. Yeah. You're angry. You're resentful at your parents. Give it up. Yes, they're not
angry.
Enlightened. They don't understand. They're scared. Yeah. That's not their fault. They don't, well, you'll educate them.
Do you have any books that can help them, you know, like, understand and not
I think you, they need to get involved with the, no, they need to get involved with the gay parenting organizations and get some support. Okay.
That's why I'm
and you need
a,
to go to gay
I'm
lesbian
be the
youth center.
Parent. I'm going to find out my kid's gay and my wife's going to be, we need to go to gay parenting. And I'm going to be like, oh, for the love of Christ.
That's going to be your final. Yes, that's going to be your final justice.
Son, here's my Miata. Just drive it to Fire Island. Let's just forget we ever spoke.
It's going to be awesome.
I'll tell you, if I ever got to go to, like, if I have to start going to gay support groups and gay parenting
well, you don't,
classes.
You don't, but if his parents don't are clueless, they need some education, some support, and that's fine. They can get that. But,
look, I mean, have you even talked to your, like, since you were 18, when's the last time you talked to your parents?
No, I know.
You really
he shouldn't.
To them.
But listen, his parents were nice that they sat him down and didn't become abusive. You know,
yeah.
People can be really obnoxious.
Well, he's angry at them, too.
Oh, yeah. But right. What 17-year-old isn't, though? I mean, let's give him a break.
Yeah. All right. So listen, you're going to be off. You're going to be off at you know the design center.
Yeah.
A
go,
few
to college,
short months.
Relax,
go to college. Get out
yeah.
of there.
Don't take care of them. If you can,
they'll be fine.
Send them in some directions.
Unless
so they can take care of
your dad didn't kick open your door in a drunken rage
right.
and start beating you in your sleep. He
right.
went out to Gravy's with you and wanted to have a discussion. You know.
Right.
All right.
It's
let's
weird,
take a break. Drew.
Yeah.
Well,
good times.
I'll tell you, I give my parents a lot of crap. I really do. But one thing I really have to thank them for, and Mom, Dad, if you're listening, thank you for never having a discussion with me or anyone else in the family.
About anything.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm saying.
So therefore, you never had to talk about sex, orientation, girls, nothing?
No, but here's all I want to say. It's a double-edged sword. Yes, we could have talked about going to college. Yes, we could have talked about a career, but we also could have had a weird talk about sexual
yeah.
proclivity
so
and
there
stuff.
You go.
I missed the bad stuff,
there's
too.
There's pros and there's cons to everything, Adam. You see how that works?
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's take a break.
Not talking to your family does have its upsides.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
All right, we'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. Yeah, it's a love line. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Woo!
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah! Hiccup-brr, hiccup-brr, hiccup-brr.
Who knows what the hell that was.
Get it on, baby.
Let's take line two. Line two, be quick.
Line two?
Yeah.
Anna?
Yeah.
24?
Yeah. Yeah, so I've been lactating for probably maybe a little over 2 months.
Good times. Have you ever been pregnant?
No.
Is there any chance you're pregnant now?
No.
Are you on any medication?
I am not, no.
No medicine? No birth control?
Well,
no nothing?
Yeah. Well, actually, I just stopped taking OrthoEvra.
Okay. And any history of thyroid problems or anything like
that? Add that to Dag's list
of
blank names.
I spoke with my doctor, and they did some thyroid tests. And
good.
They all came back.
Did they
normal.
Check a prolactin level also?
Oh, that could be another good one.
Oh, yeah. I got
I'm
know.
Not sure. I'm not sure. Is
all right. So here's the most common things to cause that. One is pregnancy, number one. Number two is medication. Number three is thyroid and other hormonal conditions like prolactin secreting tumors from the pituitary gland. Number four is actually stimulation of the breast. You can actually stimulate the nipple in such a way that they will start to produce milk. But the important thing, it's both breasts, really quickly. Ask her. Let me ask that. Both breasts, Anna?
Yeah, which led
yeah.
her.
Okay. And if we're one side, you obviously want to rule out tumors and that sort of thing. But it's something that needs further evaluation.
Both sides, not tumors.
Both sides, not tumors of the breast, typically.
Amanda, 21. You have feelings for a guy you met online, on the internet?
Yeah.
Amanda?
True? Yeah.
Falling in love with the guy you met online?
Yeah.
How old are you really?
21.
No way.
What year were you born?
83.
Have you ever? Yeah. Huh? A little behind. Have you ever met this guy in person?
No, we've talked on the phone one time.
Where does he live?
Where does he live?
Where does he live?
He lives in California.
Are you a Mormon? You knew.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Hold on a second, Amanda. We got to take a break.
All right.
All right. It's,
I thought for a second there she was going to break my streak and not answer the taped version, the taped recording of me asking if you're a Mormon.
It's awesome. All right, let's take Drew, stop making noise, okay. Please. Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back, and we'll get to Amanda and her online dating after this. Buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191er.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Break it down.
Break it down. Get a hand in. I'll tell you what, gentlemen. Those helmets, they're not chairs. Grab a Nina. Break it down.
Yeah.
And when I say gentlemen, I use that term loosely. Yeah.
There you go.
I watched Friday Night Lights.
Oh, yeah.
The other night.
Yeah.
Good movie. Good high school action. Good football action movie.
Yeah, I like the movie. I like it.
Pete Berg, friend of mine, directed it. Dear friend. Mm. Here's the thing, though, about I've noticed in just about every single football movie, and especially those high school movies, whenever they go to halftime, and the team that's getting beat, they always pan across the team that's looking pretty down.
Yeah.
Because they got their ass handed to them in the first half.
Right, right.
And they always pan across them, and they can never resist this. Kids always got, like, that scratch, like a lot of blood. There's always some blood dripping from the face, blood on the front of the jersey.
Yeah.
And the thing about football is you get your vertebra cracked.
But you don't bleed
typically. You never.
Well, your hands can bleed a little bit.
Once in a while, your knuckles can get a little skinned up.
You get some stuff
These people have the thing in the face.
It's always a scratch
in the face, a little trickle of blood coming from the cheek. You know, they can't help it.
Yeah.
It's one of those movie things.
Yeah.
Always that cut above the eye, just a little above the eye, a little trickle of Band-Aid up there or something.
Never. Not in high school. High school, you get on your pants. You get the blood.
Never.
It's because
I played 10 years. Never. Yeah. Even I played 1 year in college. I never saw any. Yeah. No one ever.
Yeah.
Once in a while, somebody get poked in the eye.
Right. You get a finger in the eye, strangely.
You get a finger in the eye. And in the ass. Oh, yes.
But you don't
pan across and see everyone with cuts on their face.
No.
Never. They have compound fractures.
Funny you say that. I was thinking to myself, too. If something got through that could cut, strangely, it goes right to the eye.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Amanda?
Yeah.
21.
So she's not a Mormon. She met a guy on the internet who lives 1,000 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why she was sort of... You notice when I asked her where this newfound friend is, she went, where is he?
Yeah, where? Who, me?
What?
Where am I?
Where is he?
Where is he?
Where is he now? Ask the question because he lives in California. This is not going to work. Come on, man. What are you doing?
What's going on with you?
Why can't you meet somebody where you live?
Well, that's the thing. I do. I'm married and my husband is overseas.
Ooh. Oh.
Now we're talking.
Sheesh.
Yeah, we're talking.
What's your plan here?
Well, I want to be with my husband. I don't know. I guess I've been kind of not being very good because I've been leaving the guy on the internet on, and
you're lonely. This is arousing, and it sort of gets you out of your loneliness and away from the misery that you're in right now, being away from your husband. But listen, the guy's overseas. Give him a little bit of a break here, will you? You're married. You have kids?
No.
Oh, thank God.
Good. What's he doing? He's in the military?
Yeah.
What branch?
Air Force.
Hmm. What's he do?
He works on the laser guiding bombing system, the infrared video or whatever.
Sweet. And do you have a problem with him other than he's not present?
No.
Did your father abandon you when you were growing up, so this is particularly raging and rageful for you? Enraging?
No. Well, I think the whole thing is I've always been attracted to black guys.
This guy
happens to be black, and so I think that's kind of why it caught me, you know?
Amanda.
Hold on. Far be for me to perpetuate any stereotype, negative or positive, of the black man, but none of them know how to work a computer. Let's be honest, Drew. No black guy cruises the internet on a computer. Black man goes into a bar and wants to get laid.
Black man's practical.
He doesn't bother with the computer.
Yeah, he doesn't chat with chicks 1,000 miles away. He needs something tonight.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying he's black.
No, I know he is.
No, that first of all, that's BS, Amanda.
You're saying he's not black?
No, but no, you're saying is. Is what you're saying. No. What's BS is you're saying, well, I couldn't help myself. I was just attracted to that kind of person. That's BS.
You know what BS stands for me? Brown sugar.
I know it does.
You know what I'm saying?
I know.
I know he's black because we've sent...
No, Amanda. Stop it. I don't care what he is. It has nothing to do with anything.
He may have some black in him, but he's not all black.
Makes me sick.
All right.
So here's the deal. This has nothing to do with what he is or what you are attracted to. It has everything to do with how you feel about your husband leaving you behind,
mm-hmm.
your inability to remain committed in a relationship, and how apparently enraged you are at your husband for leaving.
What's that have to do with him being black? Talking to you, Drew.
Nothing.
That's what I'm saying. Amanda?
Yeah.
What's this guy do for a living?
He says he owns a business. A vending machine business or whatever.
Oh, I would believe that. You don't lie about having a vending machine business, do you?
No.
No, I don't think so.
All right. And what's your plan? You guys going to hook up? Have you seen a picture of him?
We've sent many pictures.
And are you attracted to him?
Yeah.
And you're stop making that noise. And you're attracted to him because you like black guys.
And we've just kind of clicked.
Is your dad a racist?
No.
Would your dad have a problem with you marrying a black man?
No. He would have a problem with me leaving my husband.
All right. Well, that's a good man. And no one else. You're just attracted to black guys because that's your personal preference. It's not one of those F you to daddy things.
Right.
Okay.
But why are you so intent upon saying F you to your husband is my question.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I afraid to say see you to my husband?
Why are you so intent upon screwing over your husband?
I love him.
That's why you want to F him over?
Oh, no. I don't want to because I love him. That's why I'm calling is because I want to... My whole question is that I want to know if you guys have any idea of how I can let the guy on the internet... down without hurting him because I do care about him.
Oh, look.
Look, tell him you're married.
There's nothing to do. This is
you
BS.
Owe him nothing.
No, you owe I the can't guy... do that.
Well, you expect to carry on the relationship and one day he does find out? Eventually, he's going to find out the truth, so let's go ahead and be honest with him.
Yes.
I love him so much, I lie to him.
Plus, what's he going to do? Come out there and visit you and be the only black guy in Utah?
No.
Okay. It's never going to work. Amanda, you want to keep this going. You want the drama. Here's the deal. What you could do is not return his next three emails. He'll go to the next chick immediately.
Yeah.
But you want to dance. You want some drama.
Yeah.
You want to talk. You want to hear him plead.
Right.
You want him to beg you to meet you somewhere.
Just block it. Just block everything.
That's right.
Block all the contact.
Yeah. Just block it. Here's the thing, everybody. When you really don't want to go to the dentist, you just don't go to the dentist. And 10 years goes by, you don't go to the dentist.
You are married, for Christ's sake.
I am?
You are, too. But Amanda is.
Yeah. Yeah. No, doesn't mean anything. Amanda.
Yeah?
No contact with this guy. You're a married woman. You understand? Your man is protecting this country. He's in foreign nations trying to protect this country, and this is the way you repay him? How dare you? You call yourself an American?
You don't owe this guy anything.
Hey,
you have a nice
feel
little.
Bad enough.
What?
I feel bad enough.
All right. Well, then, no more contact with this guy.
Yeah, just stop it. He'll be fine. He has other women he'll talk to. Don't worry.
Here's the thing about everything. Here's what I would say. Wherever there's a train wreck, meaning a relationship that comes undone, trouble with the law, bullets exchanged, whatever it is, there's some point there's some point in that process that's much further down the road where you have a sort of choice where you can stop.
Yes.
Once you step onto the ride, it doesn't stop.
No, that's right.
It won't let you off.
Remember we had a call last week where the woman was saying, I was naked with my boyfriend and we were having oral sex together, and then he raped me. It's
like, yeah.
Wait a minute. Whoa. Yeah, he did the wrong thing, but oh my God.
Yeah, here's the thing, Amanda. You keep talking to this guy, and eventually you're just going to get together just to finalize it, just to say goodbye.
Just to do the right thing.
Just to do the right thing, and he's going to bang you in the bathroom at the Cinnabon at the airport.
There you go. That'll make you feel much better.
Be awesome, though, smelling that cinnamon while you're banging somebody.
Yeah, I said cinnamon's a highly arousing smell.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah. Especially for men, turns out.
Yeah. Frank? It says Frank's 23, but he sounds younger.
Hello?
Frank?
Yeah?
Is this Frank?
Yes, it is, from Ohio. Sorry.
What's happening, Frank?
Interrupting me.
Do you have a young child or a really stupid 15-year-old?
A young child.
Okay. And how old is your baby?
He is 4 months.
All right. What's your question?
I am 23. I've been married twice, and I have post-traumatic stress disorder. Mm-hmm. My question is, I go through bouts of near nymphomania, nymphomaniac. And
what does that mean?
Wanting to have sex more than 6 times a day.
With the same person?
Yes. My wife.
All right. Mm-hmm. Which one?
Refreshing.
Two wives by 23. How do you do that? How do you get the energy for that?
Listen, he wore out the first one.
Okay.
Like, you know, like a guy who's a, a traveling salesman wears out a set of car tires
in
a year, you know?
I'm just imagining him like the old woman living in the shoe with kids all over the place. This guy's been...
Looks like those guys who brag about how many miles they put on. Yeah. 72,000 miles they put on that Taurus last year.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Frank.
Basically, I go through that, and then for months, I don't want to have sex at all.
Wow.
So you're one of those, what they call bipolar sexual compulsives,
mm-hmm.
where you go through periods of hypersexuality and sexual shutdown. That typically is preceded by a history of sexual abuse in childhood.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Not so much in my case.
Not so much.
A little bit, maybe?
Huh?
Possibly.
What happened?
Step-sibling.
What'd he do to you, or she?
She.
What'd she do to you?
Just from about the time I was 5, she assaulted me.
Well, but now, Frank, you sound bogus, because 2 seconds ago you said, no, not me. And then you do go ahead and describe him.
Oh, it's kind of hard to admit, because I've never really told anyone about it.
All right, well, but that's what causes this. So to... any mental health professional you were to see would immediately go to this. That's just what causes it. It's a common syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
You listen to this show for 5 minutes, you hear people calling constantly with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that needs to be treated.
All right. You have a youngin. You need to take care of yourself.
Yeah, it's a 12-step approach tends to work very well for this sort of thing. If you mm-hmm. also have a family history of alcoholism, boy, it really can get rolling then.
Mm-hmm.
But there's SA, you know, Sexaholics Anonymous, and go in there, mm-hmm. get a sponsor. There are people, many people with your story,
mm-hmm.
and you can sort of unload some of that guilt and shame and get a sponsor and start working the steps.
Mm. Let me give a plug. Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah?
Jimmy Kimmel was on Too Late, my show tonight.
Yeah.
11:30, Comedy Central. Excellent.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Nice.
So nice to have a guy out there who,
knows what he's doing.
Have a little history with, knows what he's doing, mm-hmm. knows what it's like to be on the other side of the desk, even though I don't actually have a desk. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
A little give and take.
He can feed you, yeah.
A little yes and sprinkling of not only that, but solid. Solid as Sears at Jimmy Kimmel tonight on Too Late, Comedy Central. Yeah.
And I have to also remind people that everyone over 18 who gets on the show tonight will get 2 tickets to see Cry Wolf. This is a movie about a group of goofy students who decide to create an online character that comes to life, kills everybody, just for laughs. What'd you say? It's Nightmare on Elm Street meets Weird Science.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, genius.
Meets Barry Lyndon.
I hope not. Mm-hmm. Everyone who gets tickets will also qualify to win a trip to see Block Party, who did the soundtrack anywhere in Europe.
Anywhere.
Oh, anywhere they are in Europe. And they've got a gigantic tour coming up. So this Friday, You Lie, You Die, Cry Wolf in theaters everywhere.
You do. You lie, you die. What does that mean?
I don't know.
The kids lied, I think, and they died.
I don't know, but look, it says lie here. We're looking at the soundtrack. See, it says believe and lie.
Here's what I've learned from movies is kids don't monkey.
Yeah, don't monkey with technology.
Yeah.
It'll come to life.
It will come back. Yes, it will come to life and burn your ass. Let's talk to Brendan. Brendan?
Yo.
21?
Yep.
You sound like a delight. What's up?
So I have this weird thing that has kind of always been going on. I started having sex when I was 16.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, I've had sex with 6 girls and have gone farther with a few others. And I've only ever had one girl ever to get me to achieve orgasm. And while, honestly, I can tolerate that. It doesn't bug me too much.
You're gay. Maybe.
I've had a lot of girls get real upset after it. Real upset about it after.
Right, they feel responsible for it as though it's something they were doing or not doing or weren't attracted
to. All right, well, let me ask a couple of questions, because I always ask the same ones. You masturbate a lot?
Fairly regularly, but I've taken a break to see if that would affect it. And
how long was the break?
About a week.
Ooh. That's sure
if I
put that together.
Yeah.
I've done a week collectively.
In your life?
5 minutes here,
yeah,
10 minutes there.
Simultaneously.
Yeah, over the course of the last 25 years, I'm sure it's added up to, you know, however many hours are in a week.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Three minutes here, 30 seconds there. You know, it adds up. Well, I'm not beating off right now.
Now I am.
Yeah,
okay,
now I am.
I'm saying it's a break in 4 minutes.
No, I am. But the point is a week. Wow.
All right.
And so when you do masturbate, what position are you in?
Usually sitting at the computer because internet porn is free.
I get the distinct feeling that this is somebody who doesn't like girls. Not that he's gay.
Oh, he just has weird issues.
Yeah.
Dirty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Issues now, with mom, perhaps?
The girl that did get you to have an orgasm, what did she do?
What I said, I got feelings for you. Can I prolapse your anus?
What did she do for you?
Well, to be fair, that was a pretty terrible relationship. Well, the one that was able to get me off.
Yes.
Oh, that was actually one of my better relationships. She was a great girl. Kind of crazy, but, you know, I mean,
he's fishing around too much. That's not good.
He's just chasing a fart in the wind.
Right.
It seems bogus, and he didn't have enough boguosity in his banana clip, and he fired his first few bogus rounds, and now he's out of ammo.
Right.
He's searching. He's flailing.
Let's give him a break. Let's go see. Go back.
Brendan, you're going to have to do a little better in what you've been doing. What did the woman who gave you the orgasm do for you?
It was pretty much just straight sex. Missionary, she was on top sometimes, and it worked out. But even that was, like, it took generally a good half hour to 45 minutes minimum.
But what was it that she did for you that was different from the rest?
Straight sex. That's what he said.
I don't know.
Let me tell you this, Brendan. If you're used to having orgasms via sitting down in front of the computer, that's going to be a strange position to have sex in.
Yeah.
All right.
But can you tell me anything about this girl that was different?
Not really. I was pretty stupid in love for the girl, but I've had that with other girls too, and so
all
I.
All right. How about oral sex? Do you like oral sex?
It's fun, but it's never worked.
All right. I'm going to give you some advice, some sagely advice. You ready? Start beating off in all different positions. Challenge yourself. Quiet, Dro.
I'm with you on that. I'm
silence.
All right.
Don't just sit at the computer. See if you can squeeze one off standing up in the shower. See if you can squeeze one off when you're on your back. See if you can squeeze one off on your knees. See if you can squeeze one off running in place, on a pogo stick, on one of those sit and spins. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a mess. Mm-hmm. That is a mess, Drew. Have you seen that?
On a spin art?
We just sit. No, sitting and spin. Sit and spin.
Gross.
Not the spin art, although you could try that one, too. Sit and spin.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, woo. Woo. Lordy. Point is challenge yourself to ejaculate in 10 different positions. If you can do that, you will be able to have sex with a woman.
All that is helpful, but he left. Yeah, interestingly, his bogus. Yeah, it's bogus.
Here's the whole thing about bogus, everyone. Do you pussies have to be bogus and boring?
Right.
If you're going to be bogus, at least come up with something.
We had one the last week that was really good. Really nailed us.
And then you ask him a question. What girl was the best? Come on, you pussies. Come, you're going to come with something bogus. Bring something.
Ethanil.
Estradiol. That's the whole thing. I mean, if you're going to be bogus, make it good. All right. You ready to take a break, Drew?
As soon as Anderson plays one more time. 100 micrograms of ethanol estradiol, which is...
Ethanol estradiol!
It's the progesterone. It's the levonorgestrel.
And where's levonorgestrel?
Or the norethindrone.
No, put that wiffle ball back down. Girl. Come in the house.
So behind. I'm sick of these kids, man.
Now there's a longer version of that, isn't there, Anderson? I mean, if you just played the... If you just
segment.
Played the thing from the show, didn't he just do it for 10 minutes, or is that just that just
he did
me?
It again later, maybe.
Maybe no, that
he went
was
on
it
for about 3 minutes, probably.
Yeah.
Can't we hear that?
Give me a big fat version of that. I just want to hear it for the ride home.
You want to hear it on air?
Yeah, yes. I'd like to hear the big fat version of it. Yeah, I really would.
Okay.
All right. Thanks. See what you can do. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Yeah, buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Sherry over here loves giving oral, but doesn't like receiving it.
You
want
to talk to her?
Yes, I want to talk to her. I want to marry her.
Uh-huh.
Sherry?
Yeah.
23.
Yeah.
You like giving oral, but you don't like receiving it.
Yes, this is
all
true.
Right. And is that a problem?
Well, I don't know. My friends seem to think it's a problem more than I do, I guess.
Let's talk to you a little more here. See if my theory on this holds true.
I don't have
a clear fix
not
yet.
Not getting a multi fix?
But that would certainly explain this.
Mm-hmm.
The what?
Not getting the... Are you multi-orgasmic?
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah. Drew's,
actually, I've never really had an orgasm while having sex. It's only been
See, when Drew talks to a multi-orgasmic woman, his sacky sense starts tingling, and he wasn't getting that from you.
But that would explain.
But sometimes
why.
These women who like giving and don't like receiving. So here are the choices: multi-orgasmic and just not into it.
Multi-orgasmic women don't like oral sex typically.
It's the same reason you don't like oral.
No, it's actually
yes.
It's kind of uncomfortable for them. It's like too.
No, no. If it's a waste of time.
No, they'll actually say it's a little too.
A little intense.
Yeah.
But it's just what they want.
It does make me really uncomfortable, though.
Okay, I'm getting the next thing. The other thing, though, there's elements of it's too intense because it's like they have a supercharged clitoris that is just it's literally
you can't tolerate the direct stimulation.
Yeah, I mean most
supercharged clitoris.
Well, I'll tell you, it's a difference. It's a difference between piece of shoe leather, which I seem to run into, and something that's plugged into some 220 amperage.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean it's ready to go. It's a live wire.
Huh?
Drew, not a huge fan of oral. Just why waste the time? You know what I mean. Let's dispense with the parsley on the side of the plate. Let's get to the meat. That's Drew's thing. Now the other thing, if you're not multi-orgasmic, is the other two things are well, Daddy did something weird to you and made you feel weird, or just weird shame and uncomfortable. Just not comfortable with that area of your body.
Right.
Sort of low self-esteem.
There's
even
a fourth. It's too intimate.
Too intimate.
Too close.
All right. So what do you got, Sherry?
Well, my dad never did anything like that. I listen to your guys' show all the time, and I feel so bad for all those people who've been sexually abused, but I'm definitely not one of them.
Cool. Me too.
But I think it might be the too uncomfortable with myself, possibly.
Yeah. Do you not feel good? Let's say being naked around the man.
Depends on if I've been in a relationship for a long time. I'm fine with,
lights on, all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
All right.
People think it's weird. Let me.
Well, you don't have an orgasm, first of all. Maybe once that starts happening, you'll get over that.
But also, people don't have to be into everything. Once in a while, it means something from their past is creating something in their present. But then sometimes it's just not your thing.
Sometimes a cigar is just a good smoke.
That's right.
Right,
Jerry?
Yeah.
You're fine.
Not your bag.
I think once you encounter somebody who actually knows how to kind of.
Yeah.
Work the apparatus properly.
That's what everybody says. They're like, somebody knows what they're doing.
I sort of disagree. I just think it's not your thing.
All right.
Yeah.
That's fine.
But how is she going to have an orgasm then?
Well, she's going to
vibrator.
I'm going to get a vibrator.
I have fun on my own.
Oh.
You have an orgasm on your own?
Yeah. Normally, that's generally when it happens.
Good times.
Sex is awesome.
You can't recreate that on your own thing with the guy? No. Nothing close.
Do you think that's all like a confidence issue?
Women do that a lot.
It's a little comfort thing, I don't know if confidence, a comfort level.
Yeah.
But it'll kick in.
Yeah, I was almost married. I was with somebody for 2 years. And
you couldn't do it with him? Why?
I don't know.
Did he talk about it?
No. I didn't want to make him feel bad. Because I have a habit of faking it, so they feel bad.
Oh, sure, that's bad. Yeah. That's bad.
That is bad.
Because the sex is, pleasurable to me.
But Sherry, please, you're going to resent the guys for that.
Yeah.
Please, stop.
Never had a woman that had the dignity to fake it.
Well, as far as you know.
Well, no, I know, because
No,
that's what I'm saying. I can do the math. Done the math.
Yeah, there you go.
Know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right.
Nothing from nothing leaves nothing, like Billy Preston used to say.
Yeah.
Hey, Anderson.
Yeah.
You got any of that David Alan Greer?
Yeah, give me 3 seconds, literally.
All right. Should we take another call?
Mm-hmm. Literally 3 seconds. So I can turn around.
Really?
It's just behind me, so.
Wow.
Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
This is David Alan Greer,
a week ago?
Yeah.
Talking about that. Well, Drew, somebody called in about... Here's the call. Somebody called in about birth control.
Morning after pill, I don't remember.
Want to know if they could take their morning after pill as birth control. And Drew said, well, get your morning after pill and tell me which one it is.
No, get your birth control and tell me which one it is.
I'm sorry. Get your birth control, tell me which one it is, and I can tell if you can be used for morning after pill.
Right. And here's what went down. Or 2 milligrams of Norethindrone.
Dave has a sister named Norethindrone.
Yeah. Take a dose of that now and a dose 12 hours later. That's what you need. There can also be the 100 micrograms of ethinyl estradiol,
Ethinyl estradiol!
It's the progesterone. It's the levonorgestrel.
And where is levonorgestrel?
Or the Norethindrone.
Norethindrone! Put that wiffle ball bat down. Come in the house!
Yo, behind. I'm sick of these kids, man. Norethindrone, what? What is it? Epinestrol?
Drew, what else? My dang name. Just keep going, you idiot.
Yeah,
keep going.
I was laughing too hard. Mifepristone. Mifepristone.
I'm here to pick up Mifepristone. Mifepristone. Mifepristone, Mephistopheles, if you don't get into this Dodge Comet, at the count of 3, I will wear your behind out. And get Aspiril, your sister, please.
Drew, what else you got?
Norgestrel.
Norgestrel! Norgestrel! Did you take my beer can? Norgestrel!
Bang you on the head to go more? Come on.
One more, Drew, there's one. Well, Norethindrone, that was the original one.
There's got to be one more. Come on. Come on.
Oh, my God.
Anything. It could be for high blood pressure.
Noliparus.
Noliparus, you are my oldest son. I have become...
No liberals, please, please. Bring your bicycle in the backyard. Street lights is on. Now, come on, stop now. Stop, stop, stop playing.
David Alan Greer in studio tonight.
Is he how it really goes down? I bring the thing up, and then I have to squeeze you like a bar rag to keep going with the joke. You just sit there, totally silent. And Drew, do another one. Then you find begrudgingly one comes out of you, and then there's more long silence, and then another one comes. Why aren't you firing them up? Come on, buddy. It's not here. This show is not being done for your own amusement.
Your birthday, we're going to have a huge list. Christmas.
I'm just saying, do you hear how things actually go down?
It's funnier when you have to ask me stuff.
It'd be funny if you spat out five. All right. For my birthday, you're coming over. Yeah. David Alan Greer's coming over. And you are going to have not a list, but a scroll.
Yeah, huge, huge tome.
A tome?
Yes.
What's a tome? A
couple of tomes. The big,
big volume?
Yes, huge volumes.
Okay. And I just want you're going to go through several hundred thousand of these things.
Sort of big, some sort of podium set up. I can just throw that big book down, open it up, and start.
Thousands of pages.
Yeah.
Thousands of pages.
Oh, don't worry.
All right. Yeah. And he's going to turn every single one of them into a blank name. You understand? And I don't care what the medication is for.
Yeah.
As long as
I stood in my
book.
I stood in my medicine closet today and just imagined all the names being created. I just sat there 5 minutes just reading off the names, thinking about what he would do with them.
So
it's funny.
Awesome. Marissa?
Yeah.
You're 20?
Yes. This is actually a two-part question because one sort of leads to the other. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when I have sex, my lower back tenses up so much that I can't have orgasm, but I am multi-orgasmic.
You're what?
Multi-orgasmic.
Say that in a very weird way.
Sorry.
All right. So you're multi-orgasmic, your back tenses up.
But if the back tenses up, it's like completely done. I can't at all.
Mm-hmm.
So it's weird. I don't know if it's a psychological thing, like I expect something, and so my back tenses up and nothing happens.
Mm-hmm.
Or what?
Well, I'm trying to sort of make sense of this. There's something called lordosis that happens when women are sort of...
David Alan Greer, lordosis?
Oh, you go nuts with that.
Yeah,
but awesome. that, you know, like what cats do when you rub their back, they kind of curve the ass up in the air. Women, women do that, too, when they're resenting. Yeah. And that can... I could see where that might work against you. I mean, basically, you just have to learn to relax. That's the bottom line.
Well, what
you know,
men have
different muscular sort of... Men and women typically have sort of positions or ways they contract their leg muscles to sort of bring things along.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you're multi-orgasmic, so how do you throw your back out?
The thing is, I don't have a bad back, nor
no, it's
do
just
I
the muscular contraction.
Yeah, it's not a painful thing. It's just I know that, because, you know, when you feel, like, women can feel an orgasm coming on, and so when I feel that coming on, my back automatically does that. It doesn't happen all the time, but I don't know if it's because I know it's coming on that my back does that or what.
Mm-hmm.
Are you fearful of something happening?
No, not at all fearful.
Well, but do you ever have the orgasm?
Yeah.
She has multiple orgasms.
Yes, and the thing is also sometimes is I can orgasm in, 3 minutes. I don't take very long.
I'm a little bit confused. You're multi-orgasmic. You have an orgasm. Your back spasms.
If the back spasm gets ahead of the orgasm doesn't come.
Well, she can have the orgasm in 3 minutes. Does the spasm beat the gasm?
It'll come on. Yeah, if I
you see that movie Phantasm?
Where the spasm meets the gasm?
How do they say that? Well, that's this Cry Wolf.
Oh, yeah.
Where the phasm...
You die where the spasm meets the gasm.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind being on that little stretch of road where the spasm meets the gasm.
No.
Yeah. Better than where the rubber meets the road. All right. So, look, your job Oh, sorry. Where's she?
Five.
Marissa, your job is to have your...
Gasm before
gasm
the spasm.
Gasm beats your spasm. That's all. It's a race.
I wish I could do that, and I just wanted to know if it's a psychological thing, because if...
No, it's not. I doubt that it's psychological. It's really what we consider sort of biological. It's some sort of mechanism that's kicking in for whatever reason. It's getting ahead of things. It's almost like... you know, it's an autonomic thing. It's not something you really have control over. You can sort of learn through biofeedback to control these various things, and you need to find a way to kind of, it's not something you can volitionally control easily or consciously control. You have to sort of kind of figure out some mechanism, and it's going to take some working.
What about, I don't know why I was just thinking about this, but the New Orleans death toll? Yeah. Remember, there was like, oh,
so I knew that was going to be nothing.
It's going to be 10,000.
But listen, if there were 10,000, can you imagine how desperate people would have been in Houston? I mean, they would have been.
Well, it's one of these things where you have to do the math, which I was explaining to people a few days ago when they were explaining to me it could be as high as 10,000. Oh, I said, no way, because here's what I said. All this stuff, everything makes sense if you sort of break it down, which is people, first off, virtually almost everyone left. That's number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, it wasn't a situation where a plane crashed into the roof of somebody's house in the middle of the night.
Right.
They knew the storm was coming. The levee broke. The water was raised. Yeah. The people who stayed behind knew that if the levee broke and the water came up, they were going to have to get to higher ground, namely the roof, than the water. They also knew that they needed an axe or whatever in their attic to climb through the whatever. So, what percentage of people just sort of sat at their on a folding chair and waited till the water got above their head?
Well, there's another corollary to that is what percentage of people who couldn't do that themselves didn't have caretakers there like nurses and doctors and things to do
right.
for
now,
them?
Now, the point is a handful of people had, you know, heart attacks and had strokes and had whatever, and that happens anyway.
And there were some horrible situations in a couple of facilities. Horrible.
Right, but 10,000 people, that estimate down to a little under 200, it's just the news running wild.
Makes and me everyone, sick.
And it's irresponsible journalism.
Really
it really is. Because it's slanted, you're trying to make a point, and it's sensationalism. You know, you have nothing to substantiate that. I
mean, why say that? It just it makes the whole story sound bogus.
And it just fuels and fans the flames that are already burning
Which were
in
ridiculous.
The hearts of America.
And here's what kills me the most, though. Is it keeps the attention focused on New Orleans when the people in Mississippi have suffered more than anybody.
Right. Well, that always happens. I mean, it's always one of those things where we sort of decide that, you know, 9/11 was somehow that the victims of that were much, somehow needed our help, whereas the victims of the Oklahoma City bombing didn't need our help, whereas the victims in the Twin Towers needed our help, whereas the victims at the Pentagon didn't need our help.
You know,
we just sort of, we only have so much focus, and we just sort of pick one, and we go with it. You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of what we do. We're focused on New Orleans. We're not focused on Mississippi. We're focused on the Twin Towers. We're not focused on the Pentagon. It's just, we just focus on something. I don't even know if that's good or bad, but that's just the way it's, you know, you just spin the wheel.
Yeah.
It lands on one, and that's where it all goes to.
Yep.
And the more focus it gets, the more focus it gets.
You're right.
Yeah, that was profound, wasn't it?
Amazing.
You got something to say?
Take a break.
All right. Got to plug my show. Jimmy Kimmel going to be on my show tonight. Good show. Man Show. Tribute.
Nice.
Tribute to the Man Show on Too Late with Adam Carolla tonight, Comedy Central. Take a quick break. Be right back after this. Yeah. What's going on there, brothers? Ace Man at Hilton. We got about a 40,000-watt flamethrower over here.
Oh, yeah.
Right now. Coming at you right now. 822-22. Tell you weather, traffic coming up top of the sports. Rob Fugazaki giving us sports coming up top of the hour. Weather's right. Rob, get out of here, brother. Sounds like I'm an asshole, I kid. I tell you, you know, I love you, buddy. I let the door hit you on the way out. I love 23 at 11 o'clock. I'll tell you what, right now we got
traffic.
Do not
drop trowel. Well, don't do it. Do not drop trowel. This guy will rob you. He's crazy. He'll drop trowel. Watch out. Don't do it.
I got dropped out. 822-22 after 8 o'clock. We got traffic, weather, news, and sports coming up at the top of the hour. Top, bottom, middle, right side, left side, and all corners of the hour. I tell you what, we got traffic, news, weather, and sports coming at you. I'll tell you, some trouble on the four-level exchange. You got a mattress and lanes. Watch out for brake lights. Got a jackknife, bobcat. Go ahead now. One hit, got him. Oop, I tell you what, hold on, that's okay. Rob's coming to you with sports. We got weather, traffic. Dre, we got breaking weather. We got breaking sports and breaking wind. That's sports weather. Good. It's breaking traffic and breaking weather. Top of the hour, all hour. I'll tell you what, this is your station. You want weather, sports, traffic, and breaking wind, you tune in to this, baby, because I'll tell you, this is where it's going to give it to you. Top of the hour. Every day, every breaking night. Wind. I'll news. Tell you what, I'll tell you, there's some breaking news just coming up off the ticker. All callers tonight who get in on the air will receive two tickets to see Cry Wolf. Got to tell you, it's a scary movie, Drew.
Scary movie?
I've seen this movie. This movie is scary. I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what, some scary, scary stuff. When a group of mischievous students exploits the news of a recent murder for laughs, their seemingly harmless prank turns terrifyingly real as a killer stalks them one by one. They don't stalk everyone in a group. They take them one by one. That's the way the killers do it.
You lie, you die.
8:22 after 8 o'clock. Everyone who gets a ticket also qualifies to win a trip to see Block Party from this movie. They're in the soundtrack, the Block Party. This is great, kids. So kids know how to rock and roll. Tell you what right now. And I get to go to Europe. Never been myself. Sounds awesome. This Friday, You Lie, You Die, Cry Wolf. Theaters everywhere. Come on down. You're going to win yourself a trip to Europe.
And Sunday we announced the European winner.
Oh, I'll tell you, that's big stuff. I'll tell you about it. It's exciting stuff. Again, we got news, traffic, weather, news, and breaking traffic, and breaking weather, and breaking wind. Top of the hour, every quarter hour, and the half hour, and the 8th hour, and the 16th hour, and the 32nd hour, and the 64th hour, and the 128th hour, and the 256th hour, and the 512th hour, and the 1024th hour, and the 2048th hour. Boy, I'll tell you what, that's where we have news, traffic, weather, sports, news, and traffic.
Michelle, 19, what's up?
Hi. Okay, so, like, in the last 2 weeks, when I've been having sex with my boyfriend, like, about 3 minutes into it, I get this, like, sharp, stabbing pain pretty much in between my hips, like, about 2 inches down from my navel.
Yeah. It's called a penis. I'll tell you what.
You never what?
It's good stuff.
I've never really had any problems like this before. Like, I've been sexually active for a while, and, like, I've never really had any sort of pain. But it gets to the point where I'm, like, doubled over, and it's really painful, and I really don't really...
And when have you had that? Have you had a pelvic exam? You had an ultrasound?
Like, 2 months ago, I went in for, you know, every 6 month checkup or whatever, and they said everything was fine. It's been
recent. Why are you being checked every 6 months?
Just, like, to get tested for STDs and stuff, just, you know, make sure everything's okay. And
every 6 months.
Yeah, you have a steady boyfriend?
Yeah, I do, but, I mean...
You don't trust him?
It's not that... Well,
she gets
I'd rather
around.
Just be safe than, you know, something later and wish I had gotten sex to her, so.
Now makes me think you're up in your head somewhere.
I'm sorry?
Makes me think you're up in your head and you're freaked out. You're worried. What happened? Anything? Any abuse?
No, never.
No.
Pretty well rounded. I don't really know compulsive. Where this is coming from. Like, it's not really.
All right, here's the deal.
What's the compulsive with the anal part?
Whatever, it's just her. Here's the deal. Could be an ovarian cyst. Could be endometriosis. Could be a tubal infection. Could be appendicitis. Could be a lot of different things. But you've got to get that checked out, Michelle. You need a pelvic exam and you need an ultrasound right away.
You know what I wish? I wish I had some computer program where I could just say the medical term and David Alan Greer would spit out the black person's name.
Yeah, but it's not just the black person's name. It's the whole scene he sets.
Well, that would be part of the program, but I would say, like, tubal ligation. And then he would be like, tubal ligation! You see what I'm saying?
That'd be awesome.
It would be awesome.
Yeah.
I wish I could do that. Drew, would you work that out?
Yeah.
Sharon?
For your birthday.
Yes.
Endometriosis would be awesome. Are you writing these down?
I'm bringing the tome in for you. Sharon, 23, what's up?
I'm fed up with men, that's all. And I've had women approach me, you know, the lesbian thing, I found them better and better every day.
All right, go ahead.
That happens. Women are brutalized by men. They will just kind of flip on over.
Go hook up. Mitch?
Yo, hey.
25?
Yeah, hey.
You going to law school?
Yeah.
There's no lawyer named Mitch.
Yeah, no, well, my real name is Michelle, but I can't go by that, you know.
He'll be Mitchell when he's a lawyer.
Oh, I see. Exactly. Okay.
Whatever's more professional. I got a kind of important question. You know, I had a bunch of friends, like, especially when I was in in college, they would take like Adderall or whatever, or what's the other one? Ritalin.
Ritalin.
And I don't know. Their grades seem to improve, but and you know, you can get it online or whatever. So I was wondering.
They take it to stay up, to study, to cram.
You know, it seems like they could focus more. That was what they told me. So.
I know, but would they take it just in class, or would they take it when they're pulling all nighters?
No, just like every morning, like. You know, they just buy it offline and just take it every morning for.
Well, that's addiction. They become stimulant addicts. That's gonna be a bad thing.
Drew, what about absorption of knowledge when you're altered? Does it not tend to stick as well?
Well, for the most part, that's true. However, Adderall, Ritalin, the fact is that there's a slight cognitive advantage when you're on those meds.
But
there's a huge price to be paid for that.
How much? I got money.
No, I don't mean money. I mean the Mother Nature will take its toll.
You got to pay in like pine cones or
what's
something?
What's that, Mitch?
If I was going to study, let's say, for 2 months for the bar, when the bar comes up, would that be a problem? Like, will it have any mental, will it cause any problems?
Well, it can.
You could get going and not get off it.
Right.
Plus, you get to walk around with the knowledge of thinking that you may not be good enough, like an athlete who, without steroids, couldn't compete.
There is that, and then there is the fact that there is some risk of something called excitotoxicity, where these, you know, these things aren't managed
awesome
carefully. You can't damage
Alan
parts of the brain. Excitotoxicity, yeah.
Sharon?
Yeah.
All right. Here's the deal. You being a lesbian because you hate men is not the world's greatest plan.
It's not that I hate
you should work
men,
out your... your issues with men.
Right, your choices in men probably more to do with than anything else.
Thank you. We'll take a break. We'll be back. Well, that's the show, y'all. We'll take a little extendo 22-hour break. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. Frank? Well, it says Frank's 23, but he sounds younger.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.